I want to invite up Joe Ho. We are delighted, we are honored this morning to have Joe as a guest preacher here with us. Joe and his wife Tracy have been longtime friends of our community. Joe is a friend of mine, and he has preached many times with us and is a very gifted teacher. Joe's been on staff for a long time, 30 years here in North Carolina, right?
Yes, in Virginia.
And yep. Virginia. Where does your allegiance lie this March? Did you know? Like, do you cheer for Duke?
That's where I went to school.
So okay. No choice. Okay, no comment. No comment. All right. Well, not holding that against Joe, let's extend a hand and pray a blessing for him as he comes to open God's word for us. Gracious and almighty God, we thank you for the gift that Joe is to your church more broadly here in Austin and around the country. We thank you for his faithfulness to you. And we thank you above all for the gift of your Holy Spirit and the gift of your word. And we ask that these gifts together now would work in such a way that we would see you more clearly and more fully become your own. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Much like South by Southwest, Passover was a big deal each year in Jerusalem. Tons of people came to town, and the growing crowds would joyously welcome the parade of additional visitors as they arrived. Jesus had no doubt experienced this many times before, but this time there were differences. The waving of palm branches, the declaration of kingship, and riding on a donkey's colt. I'd like to begin our week of reflection on the Passion of Jesus by setting the scene and then offering a couple of short exhortations concerning kings. And then I will do the same concerning cults. You wait for that one. I grew up a child of immigrant scientists from Taiwan in an urban blue-collar area of the Midwest city of Cincinnati. As a result, I had no experience whatsoever with palms or kings, or cults. Wonder, anybody grew up like around palms, palm trees? Anybody here? A few of you? Anybody grew up around like colts, donkeys, livestock, horses? Anybody? A few? Yeah, a few. There were more of both of those in the earlier service. I wonder what that would say. Kings, how about kings? Around kings. That's right. That's right, yes. We are currently in a country that started because we did not want a particular king and then decided that we did not want any kings at all. And we went on to set up a system of government to avoid kings or anyone that looked like a king. Most nations have followed suit in one form or another since then. As a matter of fact, these days, if there is a situation where all the government power is concentrated in one individual, we actually don't call it a king. We call it a dictator, right. And we cast aspersions on political leaders home and abroad that we don't like by saying they're a dictator or they're trying to be a dictator or want to be a dictator. Over 1,000 years before Jesus, Israel was living the American dream. There was no king, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Now, it just turns out that at that point and today, just the fact that just because we don't have a king doesn't mean there's no one out there trying to tell us what to do. There was no king in Israel, but there were other nations that kept coming along and taking their stuff. So Israel demanded a king to fight their battles. Thereafter, when Israel had a good and powerful king, they enjoyed deliverance from outside oppressors. But most of the time, including the time of Jesus, they did not have a good enough or powerful enough king, and they were under the unjust rule of the Roman Empire. They were a people in chains in need of rescue. They longed for a king to arrive, and what they pictured and what they wanted was a king arriving somewhat like this image that we will see right here. This is from Peter Jackson's rendering of Tolkien's Lord of the Ring. The arrival of Gandalf, who is actually a wizard, not a king, but... So is the arrival of a king like this, this powerful arrival of a king, is that good news? It actually depends on whether you're winning or losing at the time. Picture yourself at home as a kid. If you're having a good time and mom is out, then party on. But if you're at home and your big brother is beating you up, then you're like, Mom, right? If any of you are in a hard place right now and are in need of rescue, I want you to know that your king is coming if you will have him. The greeting, Hosanna, given to Jesus means save. Sometimes even save now. Jesus saves us spiritually by changing us from the inside. And he will save us eschatologically by one day making all things right. But I believe that he also makes down payments on those deeper deliverances through concrete intervention in present time and space. In my relatively small church community, we've experienced two separate, unrelated, doctor-perplexing disappearances of cancer within the past just a couple years in response to prayer. And so I would challenge you to consistently and persistently call for deliverance. Save, even save now, and see what your king will do. But I also have a second exhortation concerning kings. When Israel asked for a king to fight their battles, that's what they got. But they also got a king that told them what to do and took possession of their stuff. Although Jesus is a good and delivering king, he is a king. Kings deliver. Kings don't take orders. Sometimes they even give them. Seeking the kingship of Jesus involves a king who intervenes, but not always in our timing. In that same span of time in our small community, we've seen at least two other surprising and heartbreaking instances of cancer where petitions for physical healing were not realized. Kings, at least kings that are more than a figment of our imagination, have an annoying habit of making decisions, sometimes ones that affect us, sometimes deciding on our behalf something that we would have preferred to decide on our own or would have decided differently on our own. That, too, is what it means to welcome a king. So much for kings. How about colts? The text makes a point of saying that Jesus rode in on a young, unbroken colt, identified in other gospels as a donkey colt. Now, I want you to recall the image I showed before of Gandalf's arrival in Lord of the Rings, and then I want you to take a look at this other image and contrast it. Different, right? Now, here's the point. If Jesus were a king coming to do what Gandalf did, if he were coming to do what the cheering crowd wanted him to do, he would not have ridden on a donkey colt. He would have ridden on a full-grown war horse. Palm branches speak of military victory, but in that day, especially opposing the greatest army, or one of the greatest armies perhaps the world had ever seen at that time, you didn't win many military victories riding on a donkey colt. If you went to war on one, you were going to get crushed. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. To the surprise of everyone, Jesus came in peace and invulnerability. He came as a king and as a rescuing king, but this was not a king who came and killed all the evildoers, but came and was killed by the evildoers, was killed for the evildoers. In Dorothy Sayers' brilliant play cycle, Man Born to be King, she illustrates this by fictionalizing a revolutionary leader who sends a message to Jesus. He had arranged two alternative forms of transportation for Jesus to enter Jerusalem, a war horse and a donkey. If Jesus chose the war horse, that would be a signal to all the forces amassed for revolution that are ready and waiting, and they would rally to him and begin the fight to overthrow Rome. Jesus, as we know, chose the donkey and set into motion an entirely different course of events, the course of events that we heard narrated to us moments ago. This means at least two things for us. For one, if you are a bit nervous about what happens when the teacher's eye turns on you, when dad comes home, Jesus wants you to know that he comes to you in peace. Maybe you've encountered Christians or churches that did not come to you in peace. Maybe you've seen their critical eye or judging eye. Maybe you've heard their whispers behind you. Maybe you've been belittled, condemned, or dismissed. Jesus doesn't do that. He knows what you've been through. He knows how you feel, even if others don't. And regarding our wrongdoing, he's not naive to them, but he would rather suffer for them himself than to see us suffer for them. So welcome this king that comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey's colt. Jesus coming on a colt is good news to us, but it presents a challenge as well. You see, when we want rescue, we often want rescue like Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. When I feel wronged, when I feel like I'm up against something that's more than me, or particularly something I find outrageous, and I feel like I'm in the right, I want a rescue like Gandalf. I want someone showing up on a war horse and saying, "You're right, you're wrong, and I'm going to change the wrong to right and make it happen." And for those who are doing wrong, I want them, you know, taken out of the picture. In the fall of 2001, a TV show premiered that would go on to break records for longevity, popularity, critical reception, and awards. The series 24, have any of you watched it? 24 broke new ground, not only by its reception, but by also portraying a sympathetic protagonist that repeatedly and persistently tortured people. And justifiably as it's presented. Now, I don't believe this show would have received the positive reception it did had it not premiered mere weeks after the bombings of 9/11 and the concurrent war on terror. See, at the time, America and perhaps still felt threatened and wanted a powerful hero to fight our battles for us. Jack Bauer's actions in 24 weren't pretty. They were perhaps reprehensible in the abstract. But the enemy was ruthless. The times were desperate, and the ends were just. That's the kind of thing that we can feel like if we're pressed to the point of desperation. But Jesus did not come on a horse. He came on a donkey's colt. Like Jesus, we do recognize and oppose evil, but Christians do so in peace and vulnerability, following our King, preferring to die rather than to kill. How's that for a challenge? We welcome a king on a colt, even when our cause is clearly just, especially when it is clearly just. We welcome a king on a colt, even when we must actively oppose injustice, especially when we must actively oppose it. We welcome a king on a colt, a crucified king. Hosanna, come, Lord Jesus.